Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You download that app anywhere you get your favorite apps for your phone, your Apple App Store, your Google Play Store. Look for the Odyssey app, download it. That's it. That's all you have to do. You don't have to register with anything. You don't have to do anything. If you want to favorite things up, you can put your email in so you get notified of the things that you want to get notified on, and you could totally control that. So I highly recommend it. It works with your CarPlay great. You can also tell your smart speakers, just play WILK News Radio, and you'll hear us live digitally through the smart speakers that your house. And I won't say the names because everybody gets angry and accuse me of ordering stuff for you, which I would never do. Never do. So how's everybody doing today on this Wednesday, April 30th, 2025, last day of April, 63 degrees. Today is the last sunset before 8 p.m. Yep, tomorrow, May 1st, the sunset is at 8 p.m. Tonight it's at 7:59. So today is the last sunset before 8 p.m. That's a good sign. Hopefully everybody weathered the storms that came through last night anywhere between 9:15-ish and 10:30-ish. They were through pretty quick. And they lessened up when they hit up by me. But I know that that line of storms that went all the way up to Canada down to Texas and came across was pretty devastating a lot of places. I did see reports of trees down in our area. I did see reports of power outages. Winds picked up pretty darn good up by me. But the rain wasn't as bad as it could have been. It looked a lot worse before it got to us, and then it kind of started scattering and breaking apart to just green and dark green on the radar, where you had the bright oranges and reds and yellows above us and below us. So some of you got hit. So hopefully you weathered it. Not much of an issue today or last night. And it's all good now. We're going to talk about some storms and power outages. Not even storms. Well, yeah, sort of. Power outages around the world and how you could prepare for them here. And are you prepared for widespread or longer than normal power outages? We've been dealing with them more and more in our area. A lot of to do with these dead ash trees that are all over the place. And it's been a known ongoing issue. We knew all the ash trees were going to be killed in our area because of the Asian ash borer. And a lot of them are standing on the edges of where the power lines go through on our properties and such. I've had a ton of trees come down, ash trees where my wooded area in the back and across the street where our power lines are. But it seems like every storm, at least up by me, there seems to be power interruptions. Now, listen, our power crews get on them pretty quick. But it's happening. There's no proactive mitigation of all these dead trees. If you look at our power lines, our residential power lines, you could see a lot of those dead ash trees that if they do come down, they're going to hit the power lines. They hit the power lines, power goes out. You know, why not get some crews out there proactively and start taking these things down? And, you know, I've been saying that for years now, and it doesn't seem to happen. You know, when I was running communities back in the day before I was doing this stuff with you, you know, I said that we should start putting money aside, start setting up a reserve fund, because we're going to have to spend a lot of money to have tree companies come in and take care of these dead trees. We know they're dead. We're aware of it. It is a known problem. And if we don't do something to mitigate it, and God forbid someone gets injured or there's severe property damage for something we could avoid, you know, I don't want to be on the wrong side of that. So, you know, I recommended back then, and this is, I'm talking 5-6 years ago, to start, you know, start putting money aside in our reserve budget for more tree management because of all these dead trees. Because if the trees were not dead already, they were in the process of dying and would be dead in a, you know, anywhere from 1 to 3 years because of this invasive species that's taken over. And it's not the first tree type that we've had an issue with here in Pennsylvania, but it's the newest one that we're dealing with, and we're going to have to deal with it. And it looks like, from what I could see, and I'm no arborer, but most of them are dead in our area, if not maybe a year left. I don't think I have one surviving left of my ash trees that are in my woods. But again, that's just me. I did put a funny, and you still have some time to chime in, on my social media, on my Facebook page. You know, I put a picture of some wings on my page. Yeah, buffalo wings. I put the drum and the flat side by side, the different types of wings you could get, and asked, which one are you? So far, the flats are winning, and that surprises me. I like both. I have no preference either or, and there are a few people who put in both, and you could say, well, that's the cheap way out of it. Listen, I just like buffalo wings, and I like them both. My wife, on the other hand, she'll pick my drumsticks out of my wings every time. She doesn't like the flats. She doesn't like to deal with them. I understand the convenience of the wings, and they look like a chicken wing rather than the flat. But either or, they both have their benefits, and they both taste just as good. So I'm all in, but you could get in there and vote. But so far right now, the flats are winning, which is surprising to me. So get in there and make your vote, and we'll see where we are, you know, later in the show today. So this power outage across Spain, Portugal, and it was even into parts of France, affected millions of people. It was the most widespread power outage in Europe in decades. And it's interesting since that area, Spain specifically, recently said that they were 100% green, reliable energy. And then they have this huge blackout that they're still pointing fingers at. It's an unprecedented blackout across Spain, Portugal, upended the lives of millions across the Iberian Peninsula, a stark reminder of modern society's reliance on electricity and how quickly life can descend into chaos when the grid goes down. Power was nearly completely restored to the region late yesterday, their time, but the cause, the previous day blackout, remains unclear. For those affected, the experience will likely leave a lasting impression and raise questions on how to respond if another crisis emerges. Now, I bring this story up because this story, you know, did happen over the past couple of days. They did get power restored yesterday, their time. But with the storms coming through last night and seeing trees down and seeing power outages, are you prepared for something like this? Can you withstand longer than normal power outages? And I don't mean a day. I don't mean a couple of hours. We've all dealt with them. I mean, what's the worst that could happen if you don't have some sort of backup? Listen, you don't take a shower, you deal with it, you keep your refrigerator closed. Hopefully you have some bottled water in your house so you can get through the most part of it. You can go out to eat, you can go to a friend's house. You know, there's ways around it. Some people more prepared than others. Listen, I'm probably what you can consider not a big prepper, but I have the basics, what I need to get through pretty much anything. You know, I have percolator coffee to where I, you know, my camp pot that I could put on my gas-burning stove, and I don't need any electricity for that. So we can make...
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Coffee in the morning if the power's out. I have lanterns. I have, you know, gas-powered, propane-powered, gasoline-powered lanterns. And, you know, of course, battery and rechargeable and such like that. I have generators to back up my entire house that I could plug into the house. It runs the entire house. I have small generators to where I can run my water pump so we can have water and such like that. I have propane fireplaces, so if the heat's not working, the boiler, I can't get it kicked on to circulate the hot water. You know, my fireplaces heat up the house just fine. We do have a ton of MREs, so we have food in case, you know, we have enough MREs probably for a month for a family of five. As far as water goes, you know, we do have water buffaloes stored in our garage that are treated and there for the long term. Some of them we've dove into in the smaller batches. We have some 5-gallon ones that we could bring in and sit on the kitchen counter and such like that. But again, for the most part, we really haven't had a big need since we've moved here. Now, power's been out for the short term more and more over the past 2 years. Again, a lot of to do with these dead trees that are coming down on power lines. But you really need to think about, you know, how you will be able to deal with it. Not just your home, but a more widespread. The entire Northeast region goes out of power. Our power grid is fragile. The experts keep telling us our power grid is fragile. The experts keep telling us that there are nefarious people out there that are looking to target our power grid. So what's your plan? Do you have a three-day, a five-day supply to get you through if there's no power? You know, what do you do in that sort of thing? Now, like I said, I'm a big what-if guy, and a lot of my friends are what-if guys who've been through it, and they talk about, you know, if the grid goes down, like, via an attack where it's not expected to come up, what do you do? Well, there's a lot of things you can do. You know, the meat in your freezer will obviously thaw out, and you could smoke it. You know, that's something you could do without power. That's something you don't need. You just need to know how to do it. Do you know how to do those things? Do you know how to salt your meat? Do you know how to smoke it to preserve it for the long term where it just doesn't all go bad and you're just not throwing it away? Gasoline, obviously. You know, if there's no power, our gas stations don't have power, or they'll be on generators as well. And do they run out of supply? Yes, it happens. It happens all the time. I remember before we moved here, I was out on Long Island, and we had that huge power outage. It was a lot of the Northeast, from New York all the way up to Boston. And this had to be – it had to be between 2001 and 2004. It was somewhere in there. I think it was 2002, to be honest with you, 2003. You know, we packed up my family and we went to my parents' house here in Madisonville, Pennsylvania, because the power here was not affected by that. So that was our plan. But getting through New York, getting from Eastern Long Island through New York City, over the bridges to here was not easy. You know, after 9/11, we had several plans with my family out there. You just, listen, if it was unsafe to go through the city, we had the Port Jefferson Ferry that took you to Bridgeport, Connecticut. So the plan was, because we lived within 3 miles of the ferry at Port Jefferson, you know, go there, get on the ferry. If there's no room on the ferry for the car, leave the car, take the kids over there and have my parents or my family meet you there, pick you up and take you, you know, here to the country. So kind of here was our fallback zone. But you should really think about, especially this day and age, and have a plan and discuss that plan with your family members. It's not panicky. It's not worrying about things that aren't on the horizon, because every expert is telling us to prepare for these things. So it's a good idea, and use situations like what just happened in Spain and Portugal and parts of France to say and ask the question, hey, are we ready? You know, can we deal with 3 days to 5 days without power? What happens if it's longer than that? What happens for the long term? I mean, I remember when the tornadoes came through here, affected Moscow, Madisonville, a lot of the places around this area. You know, power was out for a week and a half. Thankfully, there were hotels a couple miles away that had power, and we were able to get rooms there for my parents to stay. We were dealing with the trees that came down, and you could literally see on my parents' property in Madisonville where the tornado came through. It twisted these pine trees, which were probably 16 inches to 2 feet across, just twisted them in the trunk in the middle and through the tops. I mean, we were there for days with chainsaws cutting it all up. Thankfully, not much to the house. It ripped the soffit, the suction, ripped the soffit on the front porch down and out, and it took the cap off the chimney. Other than that, there was no damage to the house. But you could see where the tornado came through, the path where it came from. It just skimmed the house and continued down the woods in the back, knocking trees down. You know, and like I said, we were there for 5-6 days with chainsaws cutting down all these pine trees and getting the brush gone and burning it and such like that. But power was not out. Thankfully, we had the hotel over near Wallenpaupack, where we were able to get over there, get showers, and kind of freshen up. And then, you know, we slept in a house with lanterns and didn't really need much. We were young, crazy at that time. Again, this was back. That had to be 99, 2000. It was before 9/11. 98, 99, 2000. I know my son was little. We got pictures of us cleaning up with the tractor, all the debris out there. But you learn from things that are in the press. You learn from things that are happening in the world around you. Just don't ignore these things. Say, it's not going to happen here. Or we could deal with power for, you know, do you talk 3-5 days? You talk a week? You talk 2 weeks? Can you deal with it? Do you have a plan to go somewhere? Can you be accommodated somewhere else? You know, what happens to your property with you not being there? So just something to think about. And because some of us have lived through it, some of you have lived through it, it's no big deal. You were aware of it. But I will tell you, from experience, the people in urban America, people in the inner cities, when power goes out for more than a couple of hours, they lose their mind. They lose their minds. Now, some have fun with it while it's still able to have some fun with it. I'm talking, you know, 2-3 days, maybe. We've had the big blackouts in New York City that I've worked as a police officer. And they weren't bad. I mean, you had some incidents, but anything more than that, people start to really lose. They don't know how to care for themselves in those environments. They're not used to, you know, we're kind of rural America here. Even in the towns and the boroughs here, you know, we're used to being outdoors. We're used to fishing. We're used to hunting. We're used to camping. You know, we're used to things that people in the inner city, a lot of them aren't. And I've seen them. They just don't know what to do. I mean, here's a group of people, and not all of them, and I'm being general, but here's a group of people who think their food comes from the supermarket, not from farms, not from, you know, cows and chickens and such like that. So, you know, just use it to have a plan, discuss it, have an idea what you can do. Make sure you have, you know, a gallon of water or more per day per person in your house for at least a couple of days. Make sure you have non-perishable food per person for a couple of days. And that's not hard to get this day and age. There's all sorts of kits you can get. There's all sorts of things you can have. Like I said, my MREs have been in storage in my cold storage in my basement for a long time. And I rotate them out sometimes because, you know, my kids find it comical or a novelty to grab an MRE and eat it. Maybe that's why they chose the careers they chose. And they're not bad, to be honest with you, if prepared right. So have a plan. That's the moral of the morning monologue here. It's 3:23 here at WILK. We'll be back.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.